Okay, let's continue with the Gemara Daf Yudches Amud Aleph. We're about halfway down, where the first word on the line is Mine. We're going to start from Bai Rava. Rava asks this question. Rava says, Bai Rava, Chatzi Nezek Tzeroros, Megufa Meshalim, Omeli Meshalim. You are paying for Chatzi Nezek Tzeroros. Do you pay Megufa or do you pay Meli? What's this question? So we've been discussing before the machlokas between Sumchis and the Chachamim regarding a case of Tzeroros. Remember, the standard case of Tzeroros is that your animal is walking, and as it's walking, a stone gets flicked out from beneath its foot and goes flying and crashes a glass vase. Now the question is, how much do you have to pay for that glass vase? So according to the Chachamim, you have to pay Chatzi Nezek. According to Sumchis, you have to pay Nezek Shalim. And we discussed before the Nukudas HaMachlokas. We discussed before also the other question that Rava had about whether we say you go Basar Tavar Man Azlinan or if you go Basar Meikar Azlina. Now Rava asks the following question. We know that based on the Gemara, and Daf Kazayin Amud Beis, the Gemara over there told us the two major distinctions between Tam and Muad. The two major distinctions between Tam and Muad is that, number one, with respect to how much you pay, for Tam you would have to pay Nezek Shalim, for the damages of a Muad for damages of a Tam you'd have to pay Chatzi Nezek, and for damages of a Muad you'd have to pay Nezek Shalim. And then the second major distinction between Tam and Muad is with respect to from what you pay, right? We said that for Tam, for the damages of a Tam, you pay Chatzi Nezek, and how do you fund that? From what do you pay? So we said you pay Megufo. What does it mean you pay from its body? So the way we explained it is that let's say Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox. And Shimon's ox is a very expensive ox. It's worth $1,000. So if Reuven's ox that did the goring is a Tam, so we'd say you'd have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So the bill would be $500. But what happens, though, if Reuven's ox is the one that did the goring is only worth $200. So we say that you'd have to pay Chatzi Nezek, but you get maxed out at the value of your own ox that did the goring. And so in this case, you're not going to have to pay more than $200 because that's the value of your ox. That's the idea of Megufo. Masha'inkim, when it comes to when you're paying for Nezek Shalim, when you're paying for the damages of a Muad, you have to pay Nezek Shalim. And from what are you paying? You're paying Me'aliya, from the very best property that you have. And so now the question that Rav is really asking over here is that I know that the Chachamim hold that for Tzeroros, for damages that are done by means of Tzeroros, you have to pay Chatzi Nezek. The question is, now if that's the case, you're paying Chatzi Nezek for damages that are done by means of Tzeroros, then what that means is that is mimicking the halachos of Tam with respect to how much you pay. The question is, does this also mimic the halachos of Tam with respect to from what you pay? And so Rava asks the question, by Rava, Chatzi Nezek Tzeroros, Megufa Mashalim, do you pay Megufa? Like Tam, in other words, so how much you pay and from what you pay should mimic the halachos of Tam, O Me'ali Mashalim, or do we say that, no, you pay from the very best stuff? And he fleshes out the Chakira like this, Megufa Mashalim, do you say that you pay Megufo, Delo Ashkechan Chatzi Nezek, De Mashalim Me'ali, because we don't find a case where you'd have to pay Chatzi Nezek and where you are paying Me'ali, all right? Because typically, when you're paying Chatzi Nezek, that's for a case of Tam, and if you're paying for Tam, then you're going to pay Megufo. O Domar, do we say Me'ali Mashalim, you should pay from the very best stuff that you have, in other words, mimicking the halachos of Muad. Now, why would you pay me'aliyah? The lo ashkechan ke'orchayu ke'orche t'mashal megufe, because we don't find a case where the damages are done, the damages are as a result of typical behavior, where you are paying megufo. In other words, the standard case of muad, let's say shein or regal, where we say the animal is behaving in typical behavior, you'd have to pay nezek shalom, and you'd have to pay me'aliyah. And so we don't find it that normally when damages are as a result of typical behavior, we don't find that you're paying megufe, right? You find that you pay me'aliyah. And so maybe the same way that for the case of tzeroros that Rav is dealing with over here, Rav is dealing with tzeroros, right, that rocks that are getting flicked out from beneath the animal's foot as it's walking, the tzeroros were energized by typical behavior of the animal. And so because the tzeroros were energized by typical behavior of the animal, maybe they should mimic the halachos of Muad. In that, you'd have to pay me'aliyah. Okay, so that is Rava's Chakira. So the Gemara tries to address Rava's question with the following brisa that we discussed before. The brisa says, Tashma, Hidus in a muad, the Yishamam hares a muad. There's a machlokas tanaim. If you say that hidus, we discussed it before. Loosely translated, is like that it's dancing. We have a chicken over here that's jumping around, and it results in some sort of a damage. And so the question is, do we say that hidus is considered a muad or not considered a muad? So according to the Tanakhama, the halacha is that the damages that are done as a result of this chicken that's jumping around, so we said that the chicken is not considered to be a muad, but the Yishamim disagree, and they say, no, now it is considered to be a muad. Now, remember, whenever we're talking about muad or tam, we can be talking about in one of two aspects, either with respect to how much you pay, or with respect to from what you pay, or really both. But so we're going to have to figure that out over here. So the Gemara says, as we discussed before, hidus avedatach, you think that we're talking about over here a standard case of hidus? Of a standard case of a chicken that's jumping around? We know that that's typical behavior for a chicken. So how could anybody ever say that hidus, that the damage that's done by means of a chicken that's doing hidus is not going to be considered a muad? So elalav hidus vehitis. Clearly, the case can't just be just a standard case of hidus. It must be a case where the animal, where the chicken was jumping around, and it also flicked something out, like a stone that crashed into a glass vase and broke it. Ubahakamilfagin. So now, what's the machlokas between the Tanakam and the the first position and the second position in this braisa? Whether you say that it's considered a muad or not. Ubahakamilfagin. So what's the nekudas machlokas? Mandamar inamuad. The one who says inamuad kasavar meguva mashan. What does it mean that it's not considered a muad? It's not considered a muad with respect to from what you pay. And so because this chicken is not considered to be a muad with respect to from what you pay, therefore you're not going to pay me aliyah, as is typically the case with muad. Instead, you're going to pay me gufo. Manda amar, muad, and the one who holds that it is considered a muad, he holds that it is considered a muad with respect to from what you pay. So he holds kasavar, he holds me aliyah masham, you're going to pay from the very best stuff. So what do you see? We are assuming now that the case of hidus in this braisa is a case of tsiroros. And in the case of tsiroros, there is a machlokas whether this is considered muad or not muad, and we're going to assume that that discussion is with respect to from what you pay. So this seems to address Rava's question nicely. Rava's question was, do you say the chatzinezek tsiroros is, do you say that you pay megufo or do you pay me'aliyah? So there seems to be a machlokas tanaim about that point. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not really how to understand that braisa. That's not what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is. But pluk the disumchats rabbanu kamiflagi. You're right that the discussion at hand is a discussion about tsiroros, but that's not the Nekudas HaMachlokas. And the Nekudas HaMachlokas is if you hold like sumchas or if you hold like chacham. Remember, according to sumchas, for a case of tsiroros, you'd have to pay nezek shalim. And according to the chacham, you'd have to pay chatzi nezek. In other words, we assumed that when the Brais was discussing muad or not muad, that is with respect to from what you pay. Now the Gemara is saying, no, it's not with respect to from what you pay. The machlokas is with respect to how much you pay. Whether you hold like Sumchis, who holds that you pay Nezek Shalim, or if you hold like the Chachamim, who say that you pay Chati Nezek. So therefore, we're back to square one. We have not addressed Rava's question yet. Rava wants to know not how much you pay. Rava wants to know when we're dealing with Tsiroros, from what you pay. Okay, so now the Gemara brings another Braisa. The Braisa says like this, Tashma, Hakelev, Shanat the Harara. If you have a dog that took some sort of a cake, V'halach l'gadish. So it takes a cake that's baking on the coals, and it takes the cake straight off the coals, and there's presumably some sort of a coal that's stuck to the bottom of this cake. V'halach l'gadish, and the dog went over with the cake and coal to a pile of grain. V'achal hacharara, and the dog ate the cake. V'hidlik as a gadish, and set the gadish, the pile of grain, on fire. So what does the Mishnah say? Now, this is a Mishnah that we're going to get to, Bezer Hashem. This is a Mishnah Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, what's the halacha? Al harara mishalim nezek shalim. For the harara, the owner of the dog is going to have to pay nezek shalim. Why are you paying nezek shalim for the dog having eaten the cake? That's because that's shame, right? The animal ate this food that was suited for it, and so you're going to have to pay nezek shalim. Va'al hagadish, now we know that the dog also set the gadish on fire. What are you going to have to pay for the gadish? Mishalim chatzi nezek. You're going to have to pay chatzi nezek. Now, the question is, why are you paying chatzi nezek? So my time, what's the reasoning over there? Why are you paying chatzi nezek? Lav mishum da'avi lehu tsroros. It's not because it's a case of tsroros. Now remember, tsroros, the model case of tsroros that we've been discussing so far, is where an animal energizes a stone that then goes flying and crashes into a glass vase, Right? So when an animal energizes an intermediate that then does the damage, that's the case of tsroros. So the question is, well, how is this a case of tsroros? What intermediate did the dog use to cause damage? And so the way that we explain this based on Rashi is that what happens is that the dog brings the cake and the coal over nearby the galish. And then what happens is the coal, the fire from the coal travels to the galish and burns it down. Now, so therefore, what is the intermediate that the dog is using to cause damage? It's energizing, so to speak, the coal, which then goes and causes damage to the galish. The question is, why is that considered kocho? Why is that considered that the dog energized the coal? It seems pretty indirect. So we know that this is, we'll discuss this, Bezer Shem and Daf Chav Beis. There's a famous machlokas amiraim regarding Eish. Do you say that Eisho is considered chetzo, or do you say that it's considered mamono? And in other words, let's take the following example. Let's say you are making a barbecue in your backyard, and the smoke from your barbecue is traveling into your neighbor's backyard, and it burns down some of the leaves or some parts of the tree of your neighbor's of the tree in your neighbor's backyard. So the question is, how do we view that? Do we view the fire from your barbecue? Do we view that as though you are like throwing things at the tree of your neighbor next door? Or do we view it that it's really no different than, let's say, an animal going from your backyard or walking into your neighbor's backyard and eating some leaves off the tree? Do we view it like you're like it's chetzo, like you're throwing, shooting arrows at the tree, or do you view it like it's mamono? It's like standard property damage. So that's a machlokas amiraim. So we are assuming right now, like the opinion that holds that Eshu is a din in chetzo, that we view it, that the Eshu is considered like your koach, like you are shooting arrows at that tree. So similarly over here, when the dog puts the coal down, we view that like it's his energy that then is traveling and burning down that gadish. Okay, so now we know that kocho, with respect to animals, is another name for that, and that is tsroros. So what do you see? The assumption right now that we're making is that why are you paying chatzi nezek for the gadish? The assumption we're making is that you're paying chatzi nezek for the gadish because it's a case of tsroros. Now, how does this help us with respect to Rava's question? Remember, Rava's question is that when you're paying for tsroros, he doesn't want to know how much you pay. He wants to know from what you pay. So we know there's a brisa over there. But Tani Allah, we learned in a brisa regarding that case of the Mishnah and Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis, the brisa says, Mishalim Chatzinezek Migufa. Some take out the Mishalim Chatzinezek, but either way, you're paying Chatzinezek and you're paying Migufa. So what do you see? It's pretty clear. We are assuming now the case of the Mishnah Chaf Aleph is a case of Tsraros. And in the case of Tsraros, you're paying Chatzinezek. And not only are you paying Chatzinezek, from what are you paying? You're paying Migufa. In other words, both aspects of the case of Tsroros parallel the halachos of Tam. From what you pay would be Megufo. And so that would seem to address Rava's question. Okay, so the Gemara says, actually, no. The Tisbra, is that really logical to say that that's what's going on? Now remember, the thing to keep in mind right now is that Rava's case of Tsroros is what kind of case? Where the animal is exhibiting typical behavior. Let's say an animal is walking, and as it's walking and exhibiting typical behavior, it flicks a rock. A rock gets flicked out from beneath its foot and damages something. So that's tsroros, where it is orchaihu. So the Gemara is saying, the Tisbra, is that really logical that in such a case where we're dealing with tsroros and the tsroros are energized by typical behavior of the animal, we know that Rav Elazar weighs in on that discussion. The Chacham hold you pay chatzi nezek megufo in that case, and we know the Rav Elazar holds in that case, Rav Elazar, Nezek Shalom, you're going to be paying Nezek Shalom, and now you're going to be telling me that it's Megufo Niashkan. Do we find that you would be paying Nezek Shalom and also Megufo according to Rav Elazar? Meaning to say like this, we know that according to Rav Elazar, you're going to pay Nezek Shalom. Now remember, if we are assuming right now that the case of this, it doesn't say in the Mishnah what the reasoning for the din is. We don't know why it is that you're paying chatzin ezek according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah. We made an assumption that what's going on is that it's a case of tsroros where the dog took a cake, and then as a result of its typical behavior, there was a coal that was there and it got dropped, and then the coal burned down the stack of grain. And so we assume that that's exactly the kind of tsroros the Rava is dealing with, right? Rava was dealing with tsroros that are as a result of typical behavior. And so we have a case on Chavalf that we are assuming is also tsroros as a result of typical behavior. And that's where the Chacham say you pay chatzinezek, and the Braisa tells us further that the Chacham hold that you're paying chatzinezek migufo. However, we know that Rav Elazar holds that you pay nezek shalom in that case. The problem is like this. Remember, if we're dealing with a case of tsroros, we said that there's two major camps for how much you pay for tsroros, the Chachamim and Sumchis. According to the Chachamim, you pay Chatzin Ezek, and according to Sumchis, you pay Nezek Shalom. Now, If Rav Elazar holds that you pay Nezek Shalem for a case of Tsaroros, then whose camp is he in? Presumably, he's going to be in Sumchas' camp, right? Because Sumchas was the only person who suggested that you're paying Nezek Shalem for Tsaroros. So now here's the question. Remember, Rav's Chakira of whether you're paying Megufo or Me'aliyah made sense according to which opinion, the Chachamim or Sumchas. So remember, we said that for Rav's Chakir, Rav's Chakir is specifically within the Chum, because the Chum are the one who said that for Tsaroros, how much you pay mimics the dinim of Tam. You pay Chatzi Nezek. And so once I assume that you're paying Chatzi Nezek, and that one, we have one aspect of Tsaroros that mimics the halachos of Tam, so maybe the other aspect from what you pay should also mimic the halachos of Tam. So Rav's question only gets off the ground within the opinion of the Chachamim. What about according to Sumchas, though? Sumchas holds that for Tsaroros you pay Nezek Shalem. In other words, from the get-go, according to Sumchas, how much you pay doesn't mimic Tam. How much you pay mimics the halachas of Muad. So there's no question that it's going to get off the ground, well, should from what you pay also be a din in Tam? Because according to Sumchas, it doesn't get off the ground because how much you pay doesn't mimic the dinim of Tam, so there's no way that from what you pay should mimic the dinim of Tam. The problem is that what we're saying right now is that the case over here is a case of Tsaroros. We're assuming that the case of the dog is a case of Tsaroros. We also know that you're paying Megufo. The only question is, do you pay Chatzin Nezek or do you pay Nezek Shalem? According to the Chacham, you pay Chatzin Nezek. According to Rav Elazar, you're paying Nezek Shalem. But how does it make sense then? The way that it's coming out now is that according to Rav Elazar, you're going to pay Nezek Shalem, which would mean for a case of Tsaroros, which would mean that he's aligning with the position of Sumchas, which would mean that if he's aligning with Sumchas, there's no way Sumchas is going to hold that you pay Megufo. So how is it possible that Rav Elazar is going to say you're paying Nezek Shalem when it's Megufo, and this is in the case of Tsaroros? That doesn't seem to make any sense. V'tizbura l'Rav Elazar Nezek Shalem, you're going to pay Nezek Shalem according to Rav Elazar, which we know that he holds that way, and we know that you're paying Megufo, so Megufo Miashkon, is it conceivable that he's going to hold, you're going to pay Nezek Shalem, and you're going to pay Megufo, and that's because it's a case of Tsaroros? Doesn't seem to make any sense. So therefore, it must be that we understood this case of the dog incorrectly. We assumed that it was a standard case of Tsaroros, where Tsaroros are being energized by typical behavior, and therefore we thought that this was a perfect matchup with Rava's question, and so we thought that it could address Rava's question nicely. However, it says, the Gemara, that clearly can't be what's going on. Ela kigon, so therefore, rather, what must be the case? Deshani baha, begachalash, something katabah. So that it exhibited deviant behavior, atypical behavior, with respect to the gachalas. What does it mean the dog exhibited atypical behavior with respect to the gachalas? What that means is the way the Rashi explains it is that it didn't, the colt wasn't just stuck to the bottom of the cake. The dog took the colt in its mouth and put it down. That's very strange behavior. And so because the animal exhibited atypical behavior, we're no longer dealing with Rava's case of Tsaroros. Remember, Rava's case of Tsaroros is when the Tsaroros get energized by typical behavior. Now we're talking about over here, the case of the dog is a case where it's the Tsaroros getting energized as a result of atypical behavior. And so that changes the case entirely. In which case, now we have to figure out, why is it that Rav Elazar is going to hold that you're going to pay Nezek Shalem and you're going to pay Megufo? So says the Gemara, Ela kegon deshani baha begachalas, Rav Elazar shavah like Rav Tarfon. Rav Elazar is of the opinion he holds like Rav Tarfon. Darmi mishuna karen b'chatzar nezek, nezek shalem shalem. We know that we discussed this. This was, Ezra Shem, we'll get to this on Chavdal in the days, that there's a famous machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Tarfon. What happens when you have atypical behavior that's occurring in the Nizik's property, right? So we said that if you have Karen, Bishos HaNizik, what's the halacha? According to Rav Tarfon, you'd have to pay Nezek Shalem. And according to the Chachamim, you'd have to pay Chatz Nezek. And we're going to get to the lamdas behind their opinions. So, but either way, what do you see? You see that Rav Tarfon holds that for Karen, Bishos HaNizik, you pay Nezek Shalem. So why is it Rav Elazar holds that you're paying Nezek Shalem? That's because he holds, like Rav Tarfon, nothing to do then, this has no relevance to Rava's case. Now the Gemara backtracks for a second and says, wait a second, Velohi, but the truth is, that's incorrect. You're assuming right now that that's what's going on. My time of Mukos Lek Rav Tarfon. Why do you assume that we have to establish Lek Rav Tarfon? What compelled you to say that Rav Elazar is aligning with Rav Tarfon? Mishum Nezek Shalem. That's because Rav Elazar's stance regarding how much you pay, right? We said, how could it be that according to Rav Elazar, you're going to have to pay Nezek Shalem in this case if it's atypical behavior? So So we assume, oh, there's only one shita out there who holds that as that for damages that occurs as a result of atypical behavior, that's Reb Tarfon. So clearly, Reb Lazar must be aligning with Reb Tarfon. But the truth is, you don't really have to say that. Reb Lazar savar kisumches. Reb Lazar really holds like sumches. In other words, why does he hold nezek shalim? He holds that you pay nezek shalim because he holds like sumches. Now the question then, of course, is going to be, well, if you hold like sumches that you pay nezek shalim, is it conceivable to say that you'd pay megufo? So Rav Lazar Sarvar Kisumchas Dar Mitzraros Nezek Shalim Mishalim, he who holds that you pay Nezek Shalim for Tzraros. V'Sarvar Lek Rabbi Yehuda, he also holds that Rabbi Yehuda Da'amar Tzad Tamos B'mkomo Medes V'ki Ketani Megufa Tzad Tamos. Why is it that Rav Lazar holds that, how is it possible to hold that you pay Nezek Shalim on the one end and at the same time you pay megufo? We thought that that was inconsistent, right? If you hold that you're paying Nezek Shalim for a case of Tzraros, then it goes without saying that if you think that how much you pay mimics the dinam of mu'ud, then from what you pay should also mimic the dinam of mu'ud. Now we're saying, no, it doesn't really have to be that way. Rav Lazar can hold that you pay nezek shalom, and he could still say that you pay migufo. Why? Why? How can we say that? Because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds to this concept of tzad tamos b'mkom omeres. What's the concept of tzad tamos b'mkom omeres? So as we discussed when we did Hakonis, there is a Mishnah, and daf memvav. At the very end of the Mishnah on Daf Memhei, the Mishnah over there at the very end of the fourth Perek says that what happens if you did a minimal Shmira, you did a Shmira Pchusa for your animal, and then the animal somehow gets out anyway and damages. What are you liable for? So we said that that's a three-way machlokas tanan between Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Lazar. And interestingly, the question was, is there any difference between tam and muad? So according to Rav Meir, we said that for both tam and muad, it wouldn't really make a difference. You're going to be liable. Rav Yehuda had an interesting halacha. Rav Yehuda said, for tam, you're liable. For muad, you're potter. So the question was, how does it make any sense? So the Gemara explained, now he does have a pasuk to back him up, but what the Gemara explains over there is that, remember, for case of tam, what happens? The animal, let's say, does something atypical, does some damage that's atypical for it. So if the animal does it a number of times, it becomes a mu'ud. And now you're chayv nezek shalim. So what the Gemara explains is that when Rav Yehuda says that you're putter for mu'ud, he doesn't mean that you're putter entirely. He means you're putter for the mu'ud aspect of it, but you're not putter from the tam aspect of it. In other words, when the animal damages the first couple of times, you're chayiv to pay chatzi nezek because it's a tam. So it can't be that as soon as it becomes a mu'ud, you're no longer liable for chatzi nezek. That doesn't make any sense. So at the very minimum, you're chayiv chatzi nezek. What Rabbi Yehuda is being mechadesh is that you're only, when it becomes a mu'ud, you're not going to be liable beyond chatzi nezek. Okay, so that's what it means. Tzad tamos b'mkom omeres. The tamos aspect of it, in other words, the fact that it has a status of a tam that's that for which you've been chayiv for the first couple of times that it damages, so that's b'mkom omeres. That remains in its place even after the animal becomes a mu'ud. Now the question is, though, remember, whenever talking about tam or mu'ud, that's manifest in one of two ways, either with respect to how much you pay, or with respect to from what you pay. So what we are understanding right now is that when Rav Yehuda had this concept of tzad tamos b'mkom omeres, that when your animal changes into a mu'ud, you are still going to be liable for the aspect of tam that's contained within this animal, that is with respect to not necessarily just from how much you pay, but also from what you pay. And so therefore, when he holds, it's possible to hold that you're going to pay megufo, even though your animal is a mu'ud. Why would you pay megufo? Because you are paying for the tam component of this animal. Okay, where does this leave us? So again, Rava had a chakira. Rava's chakira was that when we're dealing with a case of chatzi nezek tzroros, which we know that according to the Chum, you're going to pay chatzi nezek for damages that are done by means of tzroros that were energized by typical behavior of an animal. The question was, do you also say that from what you pay should also mimic the halachos of tam or not? So that was Rava's chakira. We attempted to bring a raya from the Brais about Hidos. We assumed that the machlokas in them regarding Hidos, or whether we identify Hidos as mu'ud or not mu'ud, revolves around that point of whether you say from what you pay should mimic the halachas of tam or mu'ud, and we're assuming that that's a case of tzraros. And so that seems to line up nicely, so there seems to be machlokas tanaim about Rava's chakira. And then we said, no, that's not really what's going on in that price. So we attempted to bring the Mishnah and Daf Chaf Aleph Beis that discusses the dog that takes a cake off the coals. The dog takes the cake off the kol along with the kol that's stuck to the bottom, presumably. It brings it over to a pile of grain. It eats the cake, and the kol burns down the pile of grain. So we said, how much are you liable for the cake? How much are you liable for the pile of grain? So for the cake, you're chayiv nezek shalom, because that's shein. So that's a standard case in muad. For the goddess, you're chayiv to pay chatzi nezek. The question is, why are you liable to pay chatzi nezek? So the assumption that we make is that this is a standard case of tsraros, where the animal exhibits typical behavior, which then energizes some intermediate, which damages something. And so in this case, the kol is essentially the koach of the fire that goes to burn down the stack of grain is the koach of the dog, in which case we're dealing with a case of tsraros. So you're paying chatzi nezek. Now, from what do you pay? So we have a braisa about that. The braisa tells us that you're paying megufo. So that seemed to address Rava's question nicely. You see that in the case of chatzi nezek tsraros, you pay megufo. The Gemara rejects that, though. The Gemara says it can't be. Your understanding of that Mishnah has to be incorrect. Why? Because of Rav Elazar's opinion. Rav Elazar holds that you're paying Nezek Shalim and you're paying Megufo. The question is that if this is a discussion about a standard case of Tsroros, that doesn't seem to make any sense. Because if Rav Elazar is holding that for a standard case of Tsroros, where the animal is exhibiting typical behavior, and as a result of the typical behavior, it energizes some intermediate like a coal, which then burns down a pile of grain, it's inconceivable to say that you pay Nezek Shalim and you're paying Megufo. Because if he's saying Nezek Shalim in a standard case of Tsroros, who's he aligning with? He's aligning with Sumchus. If he's aligning with Sumchus, Sumchus holds already how much you pay mimics the halachos of Mu'ad. So it can't be that from what you pay is going to mimic the dinim of Tam. So it can't just be that this is a standard case of Tsroros. And so therefore the Gemara says, Elamai, what is going on over here? It's an atypical case. It's a case where the animal is exhibiting atypical behavior. For example, let's say the dog picks up the coal in its mouth and drops it down. In that case, we're no longer dealing with typical tsroros, we're dealing with atypical tsroros. And so therefore, when the Chachamim say that you're going to pay chatzi nezek and you're going to pay megufo, why do they say that? They say that because this is a tolda de keren. However, Rav Elazar disagrees. Rav Elazar holds that for a case of atypical behavior, you're going to pay nezek shalom. Well, who out there holds that for a case of atypical behavior, you have to pay nezek shalom? That's Rav Tarfon's opinion, right? Rav Tarfon, we know, holds that for keren b'shus nizik, you pay nezek shalom. And that's how it's possible. So now, the Gemara then flips. So if we would stop right there, we wouldn't have anything to answer for Rav's question. But the Gemara flips back and says, wait a second. What's compelling you to say that Rav Elazar is aligning with Rav Tarfon? That's because of his opinion regarding Nezek Shalim, right? Because it can't be that he's aligning with Sumchus regarding the matter of Tsroros and hold that you pay Nezek Shalim on the one hand, and then on the other hand say that you pay Megufo. So the Gemara says, actually, no, I have a way for Rav Elazar to hold like Sumchus to say that you pay Nezek Shalim and still hold that you pay Megufo. How is that? Because Rav Elazar is going to hold like Sumchus that it's a case of Tsroros. And because we're dealing with a case of tsroros, you're going to pay nezek shalim. Now, why does he hold? How is it possible to hold that you pay megufo? That's because of Rabbi Yehuda's idea. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even when an animal becomes a muad, you pay for the tzad tamas component. Tzad tamas b'mkoma omedes. And so therefore, what does it mean, tzad tamas b'mkoma omedes? That you're still going to pay, you're not off the hook entirely just because the animal became a muad. You're still going to be liable in the same way that you'd be liable when an animal is a tam. You're liable when the animal becomes a muad. What that means is, with respect to from what you pay, that you'd have to pay megufo. And so therefore, it is conceivable to say that Rav Elazar is going to hold that in a case of tsroros, you're going to pay nezek shalim, and you're also going to pay megufo. If that's the case, then where does this leave us in terms of Rava's question? This can now address Rava's question, right? You're able to say that this is a standard case of tsroros. You don't have to establish a case where the dog is picking up the coal and putting it in its mouth, and doing something atypical. You don't have to assume that anymore. We could be talking about a standard case of tsroros, and Rav Elazar is in fact aligning with Sumchus, and you see that you're paying nezek shalim, and you also see that in a case of tsroros, you're paying megufo. So this seems to address Rav's question nicely. So the Gemara flips back on this, and the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Amar le Rav Sama Brei, Rav Ashi le Ravina. Rav Sama bring the Rav Ashi says, Ravina, Emer de Shamat le Rabbi Yehuda betam v'nasamur. You're assuming right now that Rabbi Yehuda maintains this idea that tzad tamas b'mkom ha'med is something you're going to pay for no matter what kind of mu'ud it is. But remember, what's the basic lumdis behind tzad tamas b'mkom ha'med? That's because the animal, the first time that it does something atypical, you're chayv chatzinezek, and then it does a few more times, now it becomes a mu'ud. It can't be that now it becomes a mu'ud, you're not going to have to pay for anything. So all we explain is that for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the same way that when it was a tam, you paid for the chatzinezek, or let's say for megufo, so same thing for mu'ud, you're also, for the tamos aspect of the animal, you're still going to be liable. The only thing is that beyond the tamos aspect, you're not going to be liable anymore. But that makes a lot of sense if we started with a tam that then becomes a mu'ud. Right? So, emer d'shamat le'ed Rabbi Yehuda b'tam v'nas mu'ud. I would say that when did Rabbi Yehuda say that you pay for tam that becomes a mu'ud? That tzad tamas b'mkom ha'med, that's with respect to a case of a tam that becomes a mu'ud. The mu'ud mitchilaso, nishanalei, would he say that when it comes to a case of mu'ud mitchilaso, for an innate characteristic that's typical behavior of an animal, that it wasn't originally a tam, he wouldn't say such a svar. It doesn't seem to make any sense. You don't say tzad tamas b'mkom ha'med because it never was a tam. This always was this way for this animal. And so therefore, you can't necessarily address Rava's question. Okay, let's hold here, and the Ezra Shambli Nader will pick up next time with Elikika Amar Velasser.